Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart.
Amen. Brother Jonas Becker, could you help me with the offering this evening? Amen. You may be seated. Let's sing a soon and very soon we shall see the King as Sister Rachel gets ready for her special this evening. Amen.
Soon and very soon, going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, you're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, you're going to see the King. No more crying there, you're going to see the King.
Thankful for the goodness of God tonight. Amen. Amen. This is a song we're just going to sing. You can sing it along with us. Amen.
I love you,
Lord,
for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. No, my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good.
goodness,
oh God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able,
I will
sing of the goodness of God. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's all stand. And he's good this evening. Amen. Every day. The goodness of God. We walk in blessings we don't deserve, Lord. Sometimes we take advantage of things that we need to stop and give him thanks for. Amen. That's all. Let's change over the service. Amen. Mm-hmm. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you. I'm lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. You come here to see the Lord tonight? Come to see him in his word. Amen. Didn't come to see each other. We come to see him in the word of God. Amen. We had a good time this weekend. Brother William did a very wonderful job. Thank God for ministers and ministry that can help people and can bring us something, maybe something we've already listened and heard about, but it brought it at a little different angle. And it come down your way and brought something to me and you. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here, back again this week. That is not what I want on there. Bob, we don't want that one. We don't want that. We want this other one. We want that one. Technology. Somewhere. And y'all see every bit of that? Okay. If it'll come up, we'll find out in a minute. Yeah, somebody sing a song. Nope, there it is. By way of announcements, this coming Saturday we will be having Bible study from 6 to 8. We're still, I think we got a little bit finished with the millennium, so we're on the future home. We'll do some of the millennium, some of the future home, and then we'll have 6 to 8, the Bible study. Good to have Brother Ryan and Sister Gabby and them back with us. Missed them this weekend. All right, also on the 4th, we'll be having communion and foot washing. That'll be next Sunday. Man, it's already September. And on the 7th, which will be a week from today, Brother Luis will be speaking for us here on Wednesday night. Also remember, on the 10th will be a prayer service here at the church. It'll start at 7 o'clock. We'll just put on background music. You come in and pray. No talking, no conversing. We're just going to pray, sit, kneel, whatever you want to do. Come to the altar. Doesn't matter, whatever you want to do. And we're going to pray for the services coming up, which will be the next weekend. That will be the youth service. Will be on the 17th. Brother Ronnie Long will be with us. And back up just a minute. Also on the 11th, remember I gave all of you one of these. Take them home with you. There's more in the back. But Brother Zach and Sister Lily are having their household shower, and it's going to be all gift cards. So one of these. I want to ask him about that very last one. I know what that is. I don't know if they're going to have time to go hiking and camping and all that junk. Maybe IKEA. He'll need to put some furniture together. Yeah. Yeah. That boy need to put some furniture together. But just whatever you feel like giving them, and we'll have cake and ice cream and a little party for them downstairs. They'll be married, and I announced it the other day. I think we're going to try to get it on the screen a little bit later on November the 6th. Yes, that will be on Sunday. We'll be only having one service. Then we're all going to go to the service over in Cumming, Georgia, and the address will be put up on the screen, and also we'll announce it again. I did not bring it tonight, but we'll announce it on Sunday. So I think that's all. Who is this Son of Man, part 56? I want to bring something a little bit this afternoon or this evening that kind of struck me. I was looking at some things, and sometimes when you look at something, you go, man, that looks just like, and then boom, there it is. But I want to read you, this is my quote of the day from It Is I, Be Not Afraid, 1954. Brother Brown said, now Moses had less than the boy. Talking about the boy. The boy had some food. He was talking about the boy that had the five loaves and the fishes. The boy had some food. Moses had a dry stick in his hands, what we've been talking about. We've been talking about that Aaron's rod. In Moses' hand, it was nothing else but a stick that he'd picked up perhaps on the desert. But once when that hand of faith took a hold of that stick, it became God's judgment rod to the world. What a difference a position makes. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, later on, and then next Sunday about. Because we got to start up the Statue of Perfect Man. We're going to have to look at position. Because it's got to be a position. And tonight we're going to talk about three different things about the cross. And I think you'll see why this is a progressive revelation. This is a progressive message. And it took a progressive message to bring us up the Statue of Perfect Man. And then once you get in the Statue of Perfect Man, it brings you to another level in the Son of Man revelation. Because remember, we're still in the Son of God dispensation under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we are under the Son of Man dispensation as far as the opening of the word. When those seals opened, that put us in a different class. Brother Brown even calls us, I'll read it this weekend, Brother Brown says, a different class of people. Right, yeah. You are a different class of people. Amen, amen. One with prophetic insight. Right. Wow. Have you ever tried to use that? Moses stretched that rod. He stretched the rod over the sea. He stretched it in the air. It was God's judgment rod. Those Egyptians could have ever got that rod from Moses. They'd have had the Israelites whipped. Boy, look, that's a physical stick. And that's what takes today. As the rod was in Moses' hand, so is the name of Jesus Christ in the church's hand. Oh, my. You know, you hear people, and I was looking at some comments some people made online and different things about, you know, you say, well, God protected me. What God? You always talk to people that are not real Christians. They kind of let in between. They talk about God. They can't call Jesus Christ's name because that gets too personal. But they can say God. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can say God, and it could be a stick, a tree, a house. But when you say Jesus Christ, it brings it to a person. All right, so we have the name of Jesus Christ the correct way, the correct water baptism. We know he's not a third person of the Trinity. We know he's not a second person of the Trinity. We know that he's Almighty God in human flesh. All right, so is the name of Jesus Christ in the church hand? If the church will hold that name of Jesus, esteem it and honor it, and quit using it in slang and so forth. See, the world, they use that name all the time. They use it in a slang word. Amen? And use it in power, though, us. Use it in power and reverence. It'll conquer every enemy that God's got on earth. Every enemy. In my name they shall cast out devils. You can say God. You can say Father, Son, Holy Ghost all the time you want to. The devil's not going to move. But when you say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that brings a personality involved. That brings a person. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick. All these things in his name. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this evening that you give us. We pray now that you'll settle us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to speak what we got on our heart to the people. And Father, we pray that you'd be the ones that are sick. Be the ones, Lord, that are not with us, Lord, that for different reasons. Father, we pray that you'd go and minister to them. Lord, we know that some are sin sick, some are backslid, some are just struggling with life, Lord. And I pray that you'd just comfort each one, Father. Be with us here tonight, Lord. Anyone in this building that's sick or a little bit troubled on different things, Lord, may the Holy Spirit come in with that salve and just relieve the pain, Father. Because this earth is just nothing but pain. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us and bless us and forgive us of our sins, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. Be with the ones that are watching in and listening in, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with them, Lord. Sanctify us for this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read this one scripture and you can be seated. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. Has that become more real to you? And the Word became flesh. Personal. So who was that? Who was the Word? Who was the flesh of God? All Jesus Christ. So it all comes back, Brother John, and you got to say Jesus. And you know who he is. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord adds his blessing to the reading of the Word. And as we get started in this, I got this little thing around my finger, and I don't know who in the world, I don't know whether it was some young child or something, but I was driving the other day, and we were going down the road, and this little thing was on my antenna. And as I was driving, Brother Bob, it starts going up the antenna. And then it starts spinning around. So which one of you children did this? I like it. I'm going to go put it back on there. Hey, Sophia. Oh, you pointed at Jonas. I knew you'd tell. All I had to do was say, hey. All right, Lily. I thought maybe it was Lily back there in the back. She was smiling, but she probably knew who did it too. So I figured it was somebody a little bit taller than those girls, a little bit taller that could reach and put, Jonas, don't look back in the back. There's nobody back there but you, buddy. So thank you very much. It was very entertaining, and I'm going to put it back on there. Because you made it where it'll go almost to the top and won't go any further. And then when I get slower, it drops down. So thank you for that. I'm going to wear it on my finger if that's all right. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And the reason I keep reading this, it's more, to me, it's like a training exercise. We are in a training exercise. You and I are training every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you read the Bible, every time you pray, you are in training. Because, listen, this is a battle. You don't fight a battle. You don't just jump up out of the kindergarten and start fighting battles. Know what? Brother Donnie, how many weeks do you go to camp? 6 weeks? 6 weeks of just rigorous, just to get in the Army. 6 weeks of training. 6 weeks, and they call it hell on earth. And that's naturally. But what about spiritually? Listen, you're in a fight for your life from the beginning of the time that you come into this world. You are in a fight. Every one of us is in a fight. And we got to know how to fight and who to fight. Amen. Well, I think we've been told how to fight. And I think we've been told who to fight. Because the Brother Brown tells us that we now have Satan's answer. Well, what's the question? Who is he? Where is he? And what's he doing? The same way as when Jesus Christ was revealed in the seals, when the seals was opened, what did it do? When that door opened, when that seal opened, out ran the devil. Out ran the devil. Four times out, the devil just kept going away, going away, going away. Well, that's what we're looking at now. We're looking at the unclean spirit going out of a man in justification, sanctification. Then we're looking at sanctification even still more as we go up this statue of a perfect man. But there's something we got to realize, that when we get to a certain place, this is what we got to see. And that's what we're going to look at this afternoon. So, but every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Donnie knows how to take an engine apart and put it back together. Bob? Call Donnie. Right? May not even know if it's under the hood or the trunk. I'm talking about him, not you. Okay. But why? Training. He's done it 100 times. Could do it with his eyes closed. Bob's done it none. He just calls the guy to come fix it. Right? Why? He's not learned in that place. Well, now you and I got to learn. I know we've been given these virtues, but Brother Brown said without the Holy Ghost, these virtues are a stumbling block to the believer. All right, and even the unbeliever. All right, is everybody with me? That's why you see people falling away. You see people that don't grow. You see people that backslide, that stay backslid all the time. Amen. They're not here tonight. Right. One more time? Right. Right. Amen. So we got to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was thinking the other day, you know, we can't help the things that go into our mind. Everybody with me on that? You can't help what goes into your mind, but you can help what you meditate on. Used to, you would meditate on that, what I'm going to do Friday night. And there's a Christian song that's on the radio now, contemporary Christian song, that talks about thank God for Sunday mornings. I thank God for every morning. But they put so much emphasis on getting to church. Well, you know what I did when I was out in the world? Sunday was my checkup day. I checked up, made sure I was still alive. I had other things on my mind. My mind was toward the world and the things of the world. On Sunday was just kind of my reboot day that I rebooted and got ready for Monday. Well, now what is it? My Sunday now is, yeah, it's a reboot, but it's a renewing of my mind. It brings me back and reminds me of things. The ministers, all the ministers and even testimonies, it should bring back in your memory the good parts. Amen. The good parts that we've lived through. We remember the bad. Listen, devil will never let you forget the bad parts. But let's start dwelling on the good parts by the renewing of your mind. So when you come to church, you shouldn't even have the mind you had out there. You should let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him raise up a little bit higher inside of you and let him take over and teach us something. Because that's the only way we're going to make it. Because no man can teach you. The Bible tells us no man can teach you anything. Right? But the Holy Ghost inside of you will agree with the word, put a teacher or a preacher in the pulpit, and then that teacher inside of you will say, that ain't nothing but the truth. Or, that brother don't know what he's talking about. All right? But only by the renewing of your mind are we going to go up this statue of perfect man. Because it's like I said before, this is abnormal. It's not even hardly human. It's more supernatural than it is natural. Everybody with me? Because virtue is not a natural, not having a intercourse, you know, being a virgin. That's good, commendable, should be done that way. But that virtue is strength and power. And the beginning of character that we have to build up inside of ourselves so that So that, you know, you have confidence. When Brother Donnie calls Brother Dale, or we call Brother Dale, or we call some of the ministers, and we have confidence that that person will either get us an answer, or go to God and get us an answer, or have the answer already. Well, see, that's virtue. That, to me, that's strength. That's power. I wouldn't want to call. Now, my postmaster, she's a wonderful lady. She's really nice. Super nice. Very, very reverent in as far as letting me off and doing things that I need to do. But I'm not going to call her and ask her, say, what does that scripture mean? Are you? Right. There's no virtue there. There's no strength in that. Amen? That's why Jesus told us that you shall receive power, dunamis, or dynamite. You're gonna receive power once the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and that will give you strength. What? The strength of you? No, the strength of God. And what is God? He's the Word. So the strength is in the Word of God. Everybody with me? So you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look, that you may prove. You gotta prove. Amen? We're going to see a transfer of power here in a few minutes. That was one of the most powerful things ever happened on the face of the earth when Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. But there's another part to that. There's a furtherment of that. Because he talks about taking up your cross. You don't have to hang on a cross. He's already hung on the cross for you. But you got to take up your cross and follow him. We'll get to that in a minute. But we know the first stage is the birth. We've been on that. I want to make sure that we understand if we're not going, we cannot go up that statue of perfect man without having the new birth. You can go so far with your peacock feathers or stuck in your blackbird. Everybody with me? But you want, sooner or later, them feathers are going to come out. Power without character. Amen? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at a lot of people that thought they had a lot of power. People like Tim Humes and them. And I don't know if a man calling his name. Prayed for the sick. Cast out devils. Did many mighty works. But he turned the message down. What are you going to do with that? Gifts and callings are without repentance. Balaam knew how to get an audience with God. Satan knows how to get an audience with God. Talks to him lip to ear all the time. Amen. What about me and you? Sometimes we can't get anything. Right? So gifts and callings. But now these virtues. We're going to look at when Brother Brown talks about them being molded, and the Bible talks about compacted. When T&M and all, you know, you see people do build foundations. And I know Brother Gary's done it too. But do you just put it on sand and just start pouring the... No, you compact that place that you're going to use. Have you ever watched them build a bridge? They take that big thing up there in the top with a great big hammer, looks like, and what do? They drive that I-beam all the way down until it hits solid something. Well, that's hitting solid ground, and you know what? That bridge will be there for 100 years. But if you just tap it down there just about 3 or 4 feet, could you imagine? That bridge would collapse before they even got it built. The weight of the bridge would take it down. So I don't want the weight of sin to bring us down if we just sit there and tap our little foundation down in the ground about this far. I want us to be rooted, the Bible says, rooted and grounded. Amen. All right? So what we were talking about last time we preached, we talked about being grounded, stuck in the ground, you know, rooted by the rivers of living water. Romans 8 verse 14 says, many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that adoption is what? Adoption is your placing. So each one of these are going to be a placing. It's going to be, you're going to be placed into the body, absolutely placed in the body as a son if you're born again. With all the privileges, heirs and joint heirs, right here with Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that what? That we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, whatever he's got, we got. And this is him. This is his character. So he has given us an opportunity to take on his character. All right? But you only can do it by justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot do it any other way. You can't just wake up one day and say, I had this in me all along. It's just coming to life. Yeah, there's something coming to life, all right. But you got to have, like Brother Keith Reed says, an experience. I like what Brother Keith puts that emphasis. You got to have an experience of God. You got to have an experience. Amen. It don't have to be. It don't have to be shouting and jumping up and down and running all over the thing. But you got to have an experience. You got to have something where you can say, "Hey, that's where God revealed Himself to me and started putting the word together, started helping me put the word together." Amen. Because before that, what'd we do? You took denominations. They said, "Well, we think you said this. We think you meant that." Well, I don't know how to explain the Trinity. Ask somebody. Explain the Trinity. Yeah, you better take a couple hours because they're going to be blah, blah, blah. Amen? But we know what it is. And it's so plain and simple, it goes right over their head. It goes right over the scholars. When Brother Branham was preaching to those scholars, I'm sure their thinking and their foundation was on that doctrine. If you deny the Father, you deny the Son. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. Oh, that's right. You got to have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, just like you got to have justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost. You got to put them all together to make one God. We know that. Then now we talked about giving you a new spirit. Does everybody understand that? Because I keep going over and the Lord, some of these I have deleted off of here as I continue on, but some of these I can't delete them. So maybe somebody still needs them. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. I always try to blame myself that I'm not explaining it right. Everybody with me? If y'all get any louder, we're going to be in trouble. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now, that spirit isn't God's spirit. Does everybody understand? I want you to go back in your walk. Go back into your, whatever you want, your journey. And I want you to know that you remember when something started changing. When that old nature was like, "Man, that stinks. I don't want nothing to do with that no more." I mean, you get tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you want a what? A new spirit. Look, Brother Brown said, that's your spirit, though. That's yourself talking to you. Does everybody understand that? But what happened is God's right there close. He's right there close with you. And He's leading you and guiding you into the truth. Because why did the unclean spirit leave? Because there was a new spirit that was not familiar with that old spirit. So it went out. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit. Then He says, "I'll put my spirit in him." That's when He puts the Holy Ghost in and then seals you in. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or He couldn't even live with you. Right. Now, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, seeing you have purified your soul. Now, look. So that would probably mean, if it says seeing you have purified your souls, that it wasn't pure at one time. Can we just surmise that, or can we make the assumption? I know you're not supposed to assume, but I'm reading it by plain English. Seeing you have purified your souls. Why would you purify it if it was already pure? No, it was lost. The you was black. The you was lost. The you was smutty, dark, cloudy, full of sin. God nowhere to be found. Seeing you have purified your souls, what? In obeying what? The truth. Obeying the truth of God through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We get into brotherly kindness. Like Brother Bram said, it's going to knock some of us off. Brother Bram said, "I don't care if you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours anyway. I don't care if you scratch mine. It doesn't depend on you scratching mine back." A lot of us have a problem with that. And it's wrong. It's iniquity. You know to do better. We know as human beings, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we know if we're doing something wrong and we do it anyway, it's iniquity. That's why the Bible says iniquity shall abound. Oh, that's for the world, not for us. I'm not worried about the world. The world is not in iniquity. They're in sin. Iniquity is knowing to do better and not doing it. Or know not to do it and you do it anyway. We're all guilty of that. But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we were looking at the tabernacle. We see the Ark of the Covenant. We'll look at that in just a minute. That's the most holy place, which is the Holy of Holies. And then that middle part right here is the holy place. Remember, that's where the unclean spirit goes out. In your sanctification, that is sanctification. So there's a candlestick. There's an altar of incense. There's a table of shewbread. Eating the word of God. You got the candlestick, which you've got who standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? Like unto the Son of Man. The bride. Speaking of the bride heading into this part right here and then continuing on into the Holy of Holies. Everybody with me? What a glorious thing. But now all this out here on the outside, though, look, the laver, the altar of sacrifice, real messy, real justification-wise, bad days, good days. But it's not going to matter when you get back into here where that ark is. It's real quiet. Only you and God. That's all. You and God. That's the only two people in there. Is you and the Lord. And then we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So there's our little picture. You see how covered that is? The holy place and the Holy of Holies. You can't even see it. Right. Right. Shut in with God. Amen. In a secret place. There in the Spirit. Beholding His face. Giving you what? Power. To run in this race. Oh, I love to be alone with God. That's why our prayer life, that's where I miss it, and that's where I guess a lot of us all miss it, is in our prayer life. You know, I know we pray without ceasing. I know. I pray all every day. For every little thing that comes about, I'll say a prayer for. But do we really, like I want to talk about, we're doing, you know, get into a place and just be shut in with God, where nothing is going on except you and God. And so you talk to Him and let Him talk back to you. Now, we're going to look at this in depth a little more. I'm like Brother Luis. I can't get out of this. I can't get off this ark. But there it is. There's the ark. And we've seen it over here. But remember, what was the ark? The ark was, and I'll read it in just a minute, it was made out of wood. But it was overlaid with gold. Everybody with me on this? It was overlaid with gold. It wasn't completely gold. Now, the seven golden candlesticks were gold. Beaten gold. Not the ark. The ark was acacia wood with gold laid over it. And then we saw that there's what? The two tables, which is the law. Everybody with me? And the Brother Brown said that what? That the manna was the type of the Holy Ghost. And then that stick that budded is me and you. Wood speaks of humanity. Everybody with me? And that humanity, though, once put in where the Word is at. Come on, somebody. It put in there where the Word is at. Guess what happens? It changes. A life comes in there. Where it was dead, there's life now. And not just life, it actually... I just caught this. It identifies who it is. Almonds. I'm an almond tree. Why? Because I produce almonds. I'm a Christian because I produce these virtues. I'm a Christian because these things happen in my life. But if you look at that stick, now if you look at that stick, it doesn't look like a stick. Could be an apple, orange, pear. But once it starts bearing fruit, once something goes out on the end, and you know what happens? When you take something like, let me pick one, okra. You take okra. The power of okra, the whole idea is to get the power, Brother John, into that fruit. Because that's where the seed is. That's where the procreation is going to happen. Because if it don't put a seed out, and that seed falls in the ground, it's not going to bring forth again. So the power, so what I do with my okra plants, I was reading online, and it works. Because you see my okra plants, they're really high, and the fruit's up here like this. Why? I cut all the suckers off. I cut all the unnecessary pieces. Come on, somebody. Cut the unnecessary. God comes into your garden and cuts your unnecessary pieces off. Amen. Tear some of us limb to limb. That's good enough for me. But remember what that does, Danny. That takes the power in the roots and it pushes it. Because if it pushes it out here and there's like 20 different limbs or leaves, and you know, okra's got great big leaves, there's a lot of power goes into that, which is nothing. Sure, it sustains the plant, but that power's got to get in the fruit. And I can produce more okra that way by trimming it up. Same way with a couple of different things. Tomatoes are the same way. Cut the suckers off. We cut the suckers off of corn because it sucks the life. That's why they call them suckers. We've had a bunch of suckers stuck to us. Amen? Sucking the life out of us. Hello, somebody. Whatever sucker you want to call it, it's a sucker. Suck the life right out of you. And Satan is a master sucker. But there you've got the Ark of the Covenant, which we know that that types Jesus Christ. Because there's the law. There's the Holy Ghost, which is the manna, which God produced. Then that's a rod that God planted somewhere down the line a long time ago, and it grew up, and they cut the thing off, and it became dead. We explained that last time. It became dead. Somewhere along the line, it was alive in the Garden of Eden, but it became dead. But it took God. What a supernatural event when they put that rod in there and that thing started budding. And not only budding, not only leafing, it put fruit out. So all that energy, it's not connected to anything. So it was the energy of God. So now look. Let me see if I can get that moved over a little bit. Ta-da. So the ark is a symbol of the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. He's the law, he's the prophets, he's the word of God, he's the Holy Ghost, and he's human. Oh, what? Yeah? How many times have we told you the Son of God is not a human being in that we are human beings? The Son of God is a spirit. Theophany. But the Son of Man is flesh. That's why I keep reading John 1:14. Because Brother Brown said, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. So watch this right here. Brother Brown on the ark. Jeffersonville, 1955. Now watch the Ark of the Covenant. He said, you shall make it out of acacia wood and overlay it with gold. Anyone who knows the scripture knows that gold speaks of deity and wood speaks of humanity. So watch how perfect this thing is. You could have made it out of pure gold, but it wouldn't have fit the scripture. It wouldn't have fit Jesus Christ. Because you got to have humanity. But there's something that's holding back the judgment. Watch this. The wood speaks of humanity. See, he said, you shall cover it, overlay it with gold over the wood. That's wood. That's me and you. He's going to overlay it. Look, that's deity over the wood. What does wood speak of? Humanity, our frailty, our humanity. But you overlay it with deity. Look. Christ over the church. I guess y'all just not getting it like I got it. Deity over the wood. Christ over the church inside and out. Deity overlaid. You'll have a lid on top of it. It'll be a mercy seat and all the look. All the laws will rest in it. Now what is the law? The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, but a law was do's and don'ts in the Old Testament. Everybody with me, right? It actually, Brother Brown said, put you in jail. It actually give you no way out. You were dead under the law. Brother, the Bible says dead in trespass and sin. Everybody with me? And all the laws will rest in it. But before you sprinkle it with blood. What? Sprinkle it with blood over the mercy seat, as Brother Luis. The mercy seat's on top. The ark's at the bottom. The mercy seat's on top with the two cherubims. The law speaks of judgment. Watch this. But between the law and the congregation. Between that law that was inside, the Ten Commandments, and the people outside, there was gold. Deity had to stand in your place. There had to be a buffer. The congregation, there was something for deity stood in its place, type of Christ. Between the wrath of God, the judgment in hell, between that and the believer stands deity himself, Christ. Amen. Standing in the way with an atonement blood to save us from our sins and to heal us from our sickness. Deity stands in the way between judgment. That's what that ark stood for. It wasn't just a piece of something. It wasn't just, and yeah, it was in the Holy of Holies, but it had a plan and a purpose. Amen. It was deity standing in our place. Amen. We were caught inside of that box. Yes. We were caught inside of the box, folks. I don't want to hit my. I still got my heart monitor on, and I still have a heart because look, that little thing's beeping. I got to wear it for another week, but all is well. But deity stands in the way between judgment. Listen, if you were to pull those two tables of stone up, we'd all be dead. If we had to go by the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Hello, somebody. But deity, the gold, stood in the way. Listen, we're going to see it in just a minute. A beautiful picture of deity overlaying wood on a cross. He stood between the wood and the people. And they hung him on a tree. They hung deity on a tree. There you are, your daily walk, your daily talk. So here we go. We're going to start into this part that I'm trying to get to. There you are, your daily walk, your daily talk, your daily behavior. So what we're going to do when we go through this statue of perfect man, we're going to talk about just our daily life. Amen. Amen. The things that we do. Where do you have your trouble? When you're at church? Not so much. When you're asleep? Not so much. Your daily life. Your waking hours. Don't try, and some of y'all may try to sleep it off, but you can't do that. Get up the crack of noon. Your daily behavior, your heart, your soul, and all is holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. No roots of bitterness. No roots of bitterness. Brother Bram said that's what will kill a church, is a root of bitterness. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord as we begin to approach in behalf of our brother. Whosoever will may come anointed, blood in front of him, the blood going. Remember, the priest had to hold the blood in front of him. And he sprinkled the mercy seat with the blood. Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. Now that was the outer court, the holy place. And the holy of holies, that was God's sanctuary on earth. And we talked about fruits the other day. We'll skip through that pretty quick. Because why did Moses put the rods in the ark in the first place? We understand why. Because why? There was people murmuring, complaining. There was deacons wanting to be preachers. There was preachers wanting to be evangelists. There was evangelists wanting to be pastors. Right. Yeah. If people had a better idea than the pastor's got, or than the deacon's got, or than the elders have. Yeah. That's what it was. They were bickering. They were bickering. The congregation was bickering amongst each other. And God said, I'll shut you up. Listen, if Moses would have went in there and did some, you know, something and come out and said, well, no, it had to be God because he knew there was 12 dead sticks went into that ark. Right. 12 dead sticks because each one from each tribe handed it to Moses. Even Aaron from Levi handed it to Moses. He took all 12, took them in there, laid them down in front of the ark. Next day he walked in there. Not a one, but one. 11 were still dead. But one. The tribe of Levi. The preachers. Now that doesn't mean the preacher's the only one to bear fruit, but the preacher ought to bear fruit first. I'm sorry, the preacher ought to bear fruit first. Like Peter. Now how would it be if Peter was going now, y'all need to act like me before Calvary. Let's cut some ears off. Let's start cussing at people. Hello, that's the way Peter was before he got born again. But once he got born again, let's go to 2 Peter where he says, add to your faith a virtue. Your virtue knowledge, your knowledge temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, and love. It took a man that had what? Partake of the first fruits. Moses laid up the rod before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. It came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went in a tabernacle, and behold, see, even the people knew that nobody went into that holy of holies except either the high priest or Moses. And if Aaron stayed out, which he had to because he handed him the rod, Moses took the thing back there. The prophet went in and laid it down. So then we've got to look at a vindicated prophet. And what? And know that he went in first. He went in and got it first from God. Spoke lip to ear. And he turns around and says, Aaron's rod is budded and brought almonds. So I want everybody to get in their place. Dathan, Korah, they wanted to have their own deal. They wanted to make their own kingdom for themselves, right, Bob? Make to have their own kingdom back there. But you know what? God shut them up. The word always comes out first. So the God said, okay, I'm going to bloom this thing and I'm going to give them some almonds to look at. Not just blooms, because, you know, you might think, well, there's still enough life left in there. But just like I said before, the energy to produce fruit is twice what it is to produce anything else. Because fruit is the energy of the plant. So it's got to go up through that stalk and out into the, sure, it's got to go through the leaves, but that's where the photosynthesis is. That's where it gathers its light. But that root is the, your, when you don't put your fertilizer on your, now unless you get liquid, but you normally don't put fertilizer on your leaves. Where do you put it? You put it in the ground. So what? So the water can dissolve it, and the what? The roots can suck it up through the stalk, out into the what? The almond tree or whatever you want to. Your tree. Washing of the water by the word of God. All right, and Moses brought them all out, and the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod, because I'm going to keep it for a token against these rebels. Read it. And thou shalt quite take away their murmuring from me, that they die not. Let's not die spiritually by murmuring and complaining. Amen? Let's try not to do that. Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. See, that's kind of strange. But Jesus is looking right back at the tabernacle. He's going, hey, I made Aaron's rod, bud. I made Aaron's rod bring forth fruit out of a dead stick. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Everybody with me? Jesus said in Matthew 15, but he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that what? Our old man is crucified with him. Look, we were crucified with him. Is what we're getting into what I'm going to talk about in a minute. We were crucified with him. We were not on that cross, but we were on that cross inside of him. Like I was telling you right when Brother William was here, that struck me the other day. You know, it kind of, and I'm not trying to play God, but if you try to portray God as this all-knowing, all-seeing, totally infinite, no day when he does just what I did, I went, what's my next thought? Right? He don't have those. He's just an all-eternal, all-speaking, all, never had a pain or an ache. I was sitting the other day, and this thing went off and said it was disconnected, and I thought, well, am I breathing? Have I done passed over? Well, I stood up, my knees started hurting, my back started hurting, and my shoulder started hurting. I said, nope, I'm still here. But God didn't have a day in his life that he hurt until he became in flesh. So there, to me, is a struggle. Because Jesus, when God was put into humanity, Father, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God had to change his form. Not only change his form, he locked himself into that ark. He locked himself into humanity. He had to come wood. But deity, we just couldn't see it. But that's what came. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But once, Brother Donnie, he made the decision before the foundation of the world in eternity. He made a decision to go through that womb and to become a human being and have to breathe like me and you. Now, there's some miraculous things that he did, but there's not a recording that he walked through the ocean. No, he walked on top because he was a human. He wasn't a fish. He was a human. But it was miraculous that he walked on it because he changed the elements. But still, there was times when he had to sleep. Yeah. sleep so hard that the boat was about to capsize and his poor old disciples, they got mad at him. You sleeping when we're dying? And he's over there going, that was his humanity. But when he woke up, when we wake up, put your foot on the boat. Somebody's going to have to wake you up. Physically and spiritually. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified with him. When he went to the cross, there was no way to get me and you out. Once he became a baby, once he became Emmanuel, God with us, God wrapped in human flesh. Once he became that, there was no way for him to come out. Until he died. Until he died. Melchizedek was different. Remember, Melchizedek created a full-grown body, stepped into that body, and met Abraham, right? But that wasn't our Savior. Now, inside of there was the Savior. But he didn't come the way we came. So we couldn't be heirs and joint heirs with Melchizedek. There was a humanity there, but he wasn't locked in. What did he do? Brother Bram said he just stepped out. And as Aaron always says, those 16 elements just fell to the ground. Went right back into the earth. But now when he came into human flesh, there was no way that he could pull himself out and be somewhere else, be something else. He was deity. He was wood wrapped in deity. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Deity dedicated to be a dead stick. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Everybody with me? The prophet of God said in the power of decision, he said, put Aaron's rod in there, an old dead almond tree. But as it went under the Shekinah glory, everything it was restored again. That's the way a sinner is. When he goes under the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit, the veil drops behind him. Everything that he ought to have been, a son of God, what? Blooms out in him again. Amen. Listen, before the foundation of the world, there's some of the brothers sent me a clip of a brother preaching, and they all still going back to all the seeds were laying in the ground when the earth was made. Well, now, you got to take the quote where Brother Brown said that seed was placed in you before the foundation of that. Before the foundation of that is when it was placed in you. Now, go back to the scripture. Go back to where Brother Brown said, they asked him a question. Brother Brown, what were we before we were born? He said, you were nothing. Only in the mind of God were you anything. There's the seed. The word was already there. The word for you to blossom and bloom. But you were born a dead stick. No way out. Everything he ought to have been, a son of God, blooms out in him again. Amen. Remember, overnight it budded, blossomed, and growed almonds on it, fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience. That's what we need to get in the third step. Get over into the Shekinah glory. He's talking about going to the second veil. Where that little sacred light was hanging over the mercy seat. Prophet of God said, oh, why is my people so tossed about? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night's time, it budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds. In one night's time, think of it, in the presence of God, this old dead rod lying there in the presence of God, budded, blossomed, and yielded almonds in one night. What was it then? What kind of a rod was it? It was an almond tree rod. That's what he'd taken it from. The stick was off of an almond tree. And you are a stick some kind. And you were taken off the branch of humanity, which was God's created son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God. But by that in creation, you were created to be a son of God. You may bounce around, be respected and honored out here in the courts. He's talking about the outer court. But if you ever get into that glorious place and hide away with God, you'll yield what you're supposed to do. That's what I want us to do. Let it out. Yield what you're supposed to yield. Be whatever you're supposed to be. Let that thing out. What a beautiful picture it is today of a consecrated life who once enters into with Christ, dead to the things of the world, hid away with God, and the veil dropped down around and all the world shut off. Then Christianity and religion becomes a pleasure. A pleasure to every believer. Why are we so tossed about? Watch this right here. Today, people just have enough religion to make them miserable. Wow. Knowing that they ought to do this, they're trying to escape hell. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I would do. Oh, get in with Christ. Shut off from the things of the world. Commune with him. To commune with him is what? It's a pleasure. It's beautiful. It's something that fills and satisfies the soul. Something that gives you peace that passes all understanding. All the crosses become flying wings. All the burdens are chariot wheels. Oh, you can fly away. Now, he can let that spirit grow and take out all the roots of bitterness and press God's way. Look, press God's way through him again. And he can become back in the same condition. Same condition that he was in the Garden of Eden. Talk about this mountain be moved. Statue of a perfect man. If you die, you take the blood out of a man, you embalm him. Trouble of it is, a lot of them never got embalmed. You take the blood out of a man, he's gone. Then the only thing you can do is put another blood back in him. He's going to live again. You took his blood out. And now we put the blood of Jesus Christ in, see? And that brings the faith of Jesus Christ, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the temperance of Jesus Christ, the patience of Jesus Christ, the godliness of Jesus Christ, the brotherly kindness of Jesus Christ, and the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? He's the head and controls you, and your feet is the foundation. Faith, amen, controlled by the head. That's why the headstone had to come back in the end time to fully control his bride. He only controlled what the word was laid out for each age. Amen? But not the fullness. We now have the fullness of the word. But with that comes responsibility. With that comes responsibility to not just say, I want to be born again. Because we're going to get into it in just a minute. We're going to see about this cross that we've been talking about. There you are. There is the perfect man of God when he possesses these virtues. Now, I want you to look at this. This was the chart that we had when we first started. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost brings you to what? Brings you to the new birth. Or not, you bring to the faith of God, and then when he gives it to you, it's your faith. Yes. Amen. Amen. Bible says, add to your faith. So there's a transfer of that power. Jesus, when he stood, he said, go to Jerusalem where you'll be endued. Listen, I've given you power. I've given you a temporary power to cast out devils and do all these different things, but the devil got involved. Amen. Judas was there the whole time. But now I'm going to bring you into a place where Judas is not going to be able to come. I'm going to get you into an upper room, and I'm going to give you my power. And when I give you my power, it's going to become your power. Amen. So, if you move that 1, 2, and 3 over to the middle, and we can't because it says faith, what does that look like? A what? A cross. Looks like a cross, right? Because I want you to look at something. We'll read it in just a few minutes. I got it out. I knew about it. Because it's the only way Jesus could have carried his cross. You can't carry a 300 or 400 pound cross. That wood was almost 400 pounds. It was the top beam is what he carried. Doesn't that kind of look like a beam? Let's talk about it just a minute. Is everybody all right? Wake up for a minute. All right, now this is the total of everything that we've been talking about. So we see that we haven't even gotten to the Son of Man. So we're now the virtues are the Son of God revelation. But each one of those, to me, if you'll visualize, each one of those, Brother Joe, looks like a bar. Faith, virtue, knowledge. Temperance. Looks like a bar. If you pull them all apart, just like I did before, there's a bar there. And it's a bar that you got to bear. Because that's the top beam of your cross. Everybody with me? Now, there's three kinds of crosses. There's three kind of things that you can do with the cross. You can be the enemies of the cross. You can get to the cross. And then you can carry a cross. But now remember, there was only one cross that Jesus died on. The Bible said he died once for all. So there's not several different crosses. Everybody with me? For salvation, there's only one cross. Then there are some that never come to that. They're the enemies of the cross. Then there are some that get to the cross but don't get any further. Then there are some that take that beam and carries it. And the cross was made out of wood. It was overlaid with deity. When he hung there on that cross, that was what? Wood. Humanity. His humanity. But he took that judgment. He was the gold that stood between me, my humanity, and the people. He stood and took my sin. So that way we don't have to have a cross for sin and shame anymore. We have one. Remember, Brother Brown said a lot of people can't get him off the cross. That's why the Catholic Church has crucifixes, which is Jesus on the cross. That's a crucifix. That means they can't get him off the cross. We as Christians, we don't carry. We carry empty crosses. Is your cross still got Jesus on it? Better not, because he didn't go to Pentecost if he didn't get off that cross. Hello, somebody. Come on. You say that's silly. It's not silly. It's exactly what it is. Brother Brown said, some people can't get him off the cross. And a lot of people get to the cross and say, oh, 2,000 years ago, he did this for me. That's all right. It's a story. You're right. It's a good story. Makes you cry and weep because, you know, you look at the Passion of the Christ and you watch the movie. Sorry, folks. It was all staged in that movie. I told you what ruined it for me was you watched that movie for some time and then, you know, you got, they did all the, sliced him up and diced him up and put the crown on his head. And had blood everywhere. And I saw a behind the scenes part of the movie. And you could see him sitting there eating chicken. Looked just like Jesus hanging on the cross. But he wasn't. He was an actor. And he was hungry. He was eating chicken just like me and you. So that kind of took away from the part that's supposed to be real. And they made it look real. But that was a real man did that. His name was Jesus Christ. Deity. Hung on humanity. For me and you. So no, we don't have to go. That's why we don't have to put him back on a cross. That's why Brother Brown says, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion. They put him back on a cross. Amen? Because of their creeds, they put him back on a cross. They couldn't get him off the cross and get him into the people. So there's enemies of the cross. There's people that get to the cross. And then there's people that carry your cross. Everybody with me? So the cross was made out of wood, overlaid with deity. He hung there. And listen, folks, I'm going to read you exactly what the crucifixion process is. Everybody with me? All right, stay awake. I hope I'm not boring you. The process, based on Roman literature as well as descriptions in the provinces, crucifixion was an established routine. There were several military teams led by a centurion. Remember, the centurion was there. And in the provinces, the soldiers were selected from the local auxiliaries, natives who had joined the Roman army. The victim was stripped and lashed, or scourged. The Bible talks about scourging Jesus. As part of the public humility, and I want to stop right here because I didn't get the, I didn't get the full, it was another quote. But you know, they didn't put murderers on the cross. What did they do with Barabbas? They let him go. Do you know who got put on crosses? Political dissidents and religious idiots or religious fanatics. Because they wanted to hang them on a cross for public humility so that they would uprise. Listen, if I went and murdered Brother Boyd back in that time, if I went and murdered him, I was just a murderer. That didn't incite a riot. That didn't incite a crowd. But you let a political dissident stand up and say, this government's wrong. And you start getting followers or you get this like Jesus. Raise it, you know, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. That's who they hung on crosses. as a public humiliation. Listen, that's why you and I, if when we pick up our cross, yeah, we're going to be humiliated publicly. Your sisters are going to wear your long hair. Your brothers are not going to act like the world. A part of the public humiliation, he or she was led through the streets and remained naked. You know that for a fact. When Jesus was put on the cross, folks, it wasn't. He didn't have a loincloth on. That was put there for, we'll read it right here. Christian art portrays Jesus with a decent loincloth on the cross, but the nakedness was maintained as part of the humiliation. There was a public plaque, Titulus, indicating the crime, the shedding of blood, and the concept of corpse contamination meant that the execution took place outside the city walls because of contamination. Everybody with me? The most popular spot was along one of the main roads leading into the city. This also served as propaganda purposes to demonstrate Roman law and order. The victim did not carry the whole cross, only the cross beam. Everybody with me? There's your beam. Because you got to bear it. Watch, this is the rest of it. These killing fields contained permanent upright poles. Dead sticks. The victim did not carry the whole cross, but only the cross beam. The combined pole and cross beam weighed approximately 130 to 180 kilograms, which is 300 to 400 pounds. There's no way a human man can carry the whole thing. After scourging, the trauma and loss of blood, there was a risk that the victim could die before arriving at the site of the execution. The necessity of keeping the victim alive led to the practice of the legions commandeering someone from the crowd to help carry the beam when the victim succumbed. This is the role of Simon of Cyrene in the gospel. Remember, he picks up the cross and carries it for Jesus. All right. Upon arrival, the victim was either tied or nailed to the cross beam, which was then hoisted up, which made it worse. You're hanging just by your hands until they set you on that upright pole and attach you to it. It's pulling the ligaments of your arms. I mean, it's horrible. Hoisted up and connected to the vertical pole with ladders and pulleys. We have evidence of the use of nails from several sources. They were 5 to 7 inches long, tapered iron spikes. The application of the nails varied. Seneca reported that some were hung upside down. Remember, Peter was hung upside down. Or with arms stretched out on either side. Josephus reported seeing crucifixed victims at the siege of Jerusalem. Do you remember in 70 AD, remember God told him, get out of Jerusalem? Right. Titus besieged, and they eat their own kids. They crucified them. Where the soldiers positioned them in various poses to amuse themselves out of anger and hatred. Some people collected the nails as magical amulets. You know, we know now that the Catholic Church says they have so many nails, and these got so many nails, and Jesus must have had 40 or 50 nails in him. That ain't going to make no difference. None at all. So let's read what the Bible says. Look, in Philippians 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. Paul's weeping because they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. There's people who will never accept it. There's people that are what? Brute beasts made for destruction. They're never going to even get to the cross. They deny the cross. They deny Jesus Christ. They deny there's even a God. So we're not talking about those. Look, whose end is destruction. They're not even counted in the religious community. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is what? Their belly. And that's a metaphor. They're not just a belly. What? Their riches. Their fame. Their fortune. Their gut. Right. Yeah. Their person. Amen. That's all they care about. And whose glory is what? Their shame. I mean, I deliver mail, and I'm sorry, I'm a human being, but you got the biggest magazines have the biggest naked women on them. Why do they do that? They think it's wonderful. I look at it as a shame. That a woman's putting herself out there, going to kill millions of other people who mind earthly things. Now look, let's go to here. Now remember, there's enemies of the cross. They don't even care about what we're talking about tonight. All right? Colossians 2, verse 14, this is Paul again, says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now he's talking about mine and your sins. Everybody with me? He's nailing it to his cross. There was one cross on Golgotha, and that's the only one we need. We don't need another cross like that. He died once for all. Everybody with me? But for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest what? The cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Wow. Look, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishly. What did Brother Branham say? You got to crawl over the cross to get to hell. Right? Every person in the world's got to walk right by that cross to get to hell. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishly. And I'm going to try to find that quote where Brother Branham says, never forget Calvary. Never forget what happened at the cross. Listen, we can be revelated with all these seals and vials and plagues and Daniel 70 weeks, but if we forget the cross, you better remember how you got the knowledge you got. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. Foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Now let's see if we can live this. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And that's actually even in red letter. It's Jesus talking. Everybody with me? He that loveth father or mother more than me. You stay out of church because your mom and daddy comes to visit you if they're not believers? Son and daughter comes in town. You take a day off of church just to visit with your family. They're watching you like a hawk. They know that your religion ain't good. It's just a formality. I come to church on Sunday, regardless if June's daddy's there or not there. He can drink his coffee alone, and he knows that. Amen. But most people would say, no, now my daddy's coming. I ain't seen him in 2 or 3 years. Well, that's your fault. If you ain't seen your daddy or mama in 2 or 3 years, that's your fault. But it always happens on Sunday, remember, or Wednesday night. You know, we go to work Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday we get a sinus infection or our cat's got diarrhea or something, you know, going on. Or we get some kind of little ailment on Wednesday. But now Thursday morning, God heals us. And we go right on to work. Just like nothing happened. Then we get close to the weekend. I don't know what's come over me. I do. The devil. But now look what verse 30. Y'all got quiet and then started laughing. Now watch this. He that taketh not his cross. He's transferred all that power of the cross. Now he's transferred it into what? Not just getting to the cross, but bearing your cross. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. What? My old life. Your old life. I'm like Brother Branham, you know, and he even tells a story. He said, you know what? He said, to keep same way with me. I got busy on Sunday. Like I said, I didn't want to go to church. I got busy on Sunday. I scheduled stuff to do on Sunday. I went deer hunting, or I went to a place I didn't, you know, never mind. Brother Branham now, he tells a story. He used to wax and wash his car on Sunday and watch him people go to church. A prophet. I wonder where the seed was then. So anyway, then Jesus said unto his disciples. Now what is a disciple? There's people that know Jesus. There was 500 brethren that knew Jesus. There was 70 that walked away. They were not considered or ever called disciples. Disciples is one that follows a leader. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Jesus never says, take up my cross. He says, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Thank God I have lost my old life. And so have you. If you're born again, you've lost your old life. Amen. Mark 8 verse 34. This is another part of what Jesus was talking about. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, his followers, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now I like this one. Luke is a physician. He's more precise. Watch what he says. None of the other ones says this. He's the only one that says this right here. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That puts it real intense. Well, I'll take it in a few days and then I'll lay it down. Or I'll take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Luke 14 verse 27 said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me. Why? This is what we're after. He went first. He was the first fruits. He showed these characters. He showed these fruits of the Spirit. He showed what it was. And he showed it in the first church age. First, second, third church age. He showed these virtues. And then he got lost. Man got to arguing and complaining. Right. Sounds like today. And whosoever doth not bear his cross. What? Bear his beam. Bear his beam and continue on, not past the cross, but with your cross. That ought to make you happy. It's telling you what you got, we got. You say, oh, that's kind of, I don't know. Bearing burdens. Listen, you never did have nails put in your hands, I'll promise you that. And you didn't hang there for almost 5 hours on a cross suffocating to death. That's why they broke their legs. If you didn't know that, a little history, you know why they broke those two guys' legs? Number one was it was beginning to be the Sabbath and they didn't want to leave them hanging up there the whole weekend. So they would break their legs so they would suffocate faster. But Jesus had already had control of everything. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He was already dead. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. We got to run with this beam. We don't just walk with it. We got to run with it. Run with patience the race that is set before us. What? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what he's saying? Come on. Come on. I did it. I did it. You don't have to do it like I did. All you got to do is pick up the beam. All you got to do is pick the beam up and follow me. Pick up your beam. Pick up your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, and follow God. Last thought, that's the position. Some don't even want the cross. They don't care about the cross. Some of them use it in, you know, evil ways. Some come to the cross. Some may get born again. Come on, somebody. Some may get born again. Come to the cross. Salvation. Salvation of the Lord is of the Lord. Justification. Even come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you got to pick up your cross. And follow him continually on what? The Bible says to the regeneration. Or what? The regening of me and you. To regene this guy. Not make me look different. But change me. Can you carry that beam? God's already took it to the cross. He's already hung there for me and you. But he requires. That's a requirement in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not a suggestion. That's a requirement. If we are going to get a position in Christ, we're going to have to bear. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And what? All the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Must Jesus bear this cross alone? But you look in the Bible, and we'll keep going on further with this. The Bible even talks about bearing each other's burdens. And he says, my yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. And we're wanting to make them heavy. No, it says right here, look, who for joy? Wow. Who for joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, he hung naked. And when he died, there's no doubt it was a mess. His body fluid. You know how when somebody dies? It wasn't pretty. But he didn't care. He did it for me and you. He's just asking us to take the beam. The beam of faith. The beam of virtue, knowledge, temperance. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, musicians. He asked us to take those. Not get nailed. It was already, the Bible said it, our sins was already nailed to the cross. Already nailed. He's already took our sins. But what we're going to have to do is build character. Build character by a position. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, add to what? Add to your faith. So as I said before, that dunamis or that power that Jesus said you will be endued with dunamis or power, he's transferring every bit of that onto me and you. Amen. What are you going to do with it? I'm asking you tonight. You going to carry it on, or are you just going to keep sitting here for another, I hope we're not here another 20 years. I'll be 82 years old. Somebody is going to have to live this thing right here. Amen. And not just live it, but show it. Yeah. And it's not burdensome. If you do it in the right way, it's a position. You look at people at work, and I've never been just staying where I was at work. I always wanted to advance. I always wanted to own a company, and I did several, and was successful. Several $1 million in sales we grew while I was the owner of the business. That's no pat on my back, but it's a drive. I sure didn't get that getting up at the crack of noon, I'll promise you that. Sometimes June knows I got up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning, loaded them trucks myself. And when in the early part of our life, that wasn't enough to sustain us, so I would go umpire from 7 o'clock till 11 o'clock at night just to make some extra income and then go load my truck and start over again. So don't tell me about work. But this is a different kind of work. To me, this is pleasurable. Sometimes that was not. This should be pleasurable. Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, if I got to go wear another dress, I think I'll just go sneak around. No, you ain't sneaking. I'm not looking at y'all. I'm not. I don't know why I looked over here. But in God, there is no sneaky. He knows it before you did it. So there's no sneaky. You might sneaky against your parents. You might think you get by with it, but you know what? What did Brother Brown say? He said, a Christian sends a sin, he will reap a tub full. Amen? Because you know what? That's that iniquity thing. You know to do better and you don't do it. Or either you do something you know you shouldn't do. We need to think about that because you know what? I read that scripture the other day. I was reading it. Where iniquity will abound in the end time. Abound. So that means people do whatever. Look at this world. They do what they want to do. It don't matter if it's right or wrong. They do it anyway. With no consequence. But they're going to have a consequence. But let's don't be enemies of the cross. Let's don't just come to the cross. Let's don't just find the cross. Let's bear a cross. Let's bear each other's burdens. Let's bear with each other. Somebody stumbles. Don't kick him while he's down. Right? Be like Simon the Cyrene. Reach over there and pick the thing up for him.
Amen.
If you have to carry him for a little while, so what? Jesus carried your sorry rear end, didn't he? When you was out in the world. In our ups and downs and our stumbles back and forth. He carried you, and you know what? He didn't grumble one bit. So let's don't grumble. Gripe and complain. No root of bitterness. That's what we're going to keep talking. We'll go up the statue of perfect man. It's a position. All this is a position. Listen, we're Christians. We've come to the cross. We know that God died for me and you in human flesh. We know that. We know he's that rod that budded. But you know what? Now you're a rod. You have come to life. You have budded. And now you are to produce the life that was in that limb. Let's sing a song. God bless you. Think upon these things.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
You love him?
Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God.
Think about it.
And renew a right spirit.
Sometimes we do slip up. David slipped up. Moses slipped up. Aaron slipped up.
Cast me,
but there's a perfect one that we look to. When he bore the cross, he bore your shame. He bore your sin. He bore every evil spirit that comes against you. I'm sure they were buzzing around his head that day. Remember Brother Branham said, Satan said, oh, I got you now, buddy. I'll bring you down here and I'll lock you up just like I locked them up from the beginning of time. But when that man went downstairs, it was a different kind of man. It was God. And that same God is inside of you tonight if you have the new birth. Same God gets the same results. That's our problem. We're going to show results, but if it's not God, you're going to see the results. We're going to bear whatever life is inside your limb. Thank you to it.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
A change of mind, a renewing. Not like the old way, but this new way. There's a new way of doing things when you become a Christian. Not the old way. And Brother Branham even said, not even the old way patched up. It's the old man dead. Jesus was dead on that cross. His body did not have any life in it at all. But that theophany, when he came out of that body, you and I were in that theophany with him. He went to hell, you went to hell. You don't have to go, you already been.
Spirit,
he came up to mighty conquer so that you can conquer. You can conquer all the things in this life. Overcomers? Oh, I've got my toothpick. I got my toothpick. No, it was a beam. If the whole thing, Brother John, weighed 300 pounds, that thing probably weighed 100 at least. And there the little frail Jesus was trying to carry 100 pounds. They had done beat him up all over the place. They had whacked him all night. They had scourged him, which means they whipped him. And there he was naked, walking through the streets with that beam on his shoulder. Sometimes we feel like we're having problems. He took them all at Calvary. Now let's turn that thing around and use the power of the cross to bear each other's burdens. Help Brother Dale, different ones, all of his ministry. Help the ministry. Hold them up. Don't beat them down. Hold them up. Amen? Hold them up. Don't beat them down. Why? I heard a preacher the other day, and I agree with him 100%. If you don't make it to heaven, it is not the preacher's fault. It's your fault. So don't name. You can't come to the day of judgment and say, well, Brother Dale's the reason I ain't make it. Nope. God's going to say, no, let me tell you the day I tried to get you to do something, and you didn't do it. The day you turned against somebody. I'm just telling you. God's plain. His judgment is true. But that judgment has some deity, had some gold wrapped around it. And Brother Aaron, that stood between us and judgment was that deity. Deity hang on the cross. Said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. There was gold. Deity dedicated to death. Taking your sin on the cross. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day you've given us. Father, we pray that something's been said, Lord, that'll strike our heart. And that we'll not just try to pick up, as we said, a little toothpick or a little stick. But, Lord, let us bear what we're supposed to bear. Let us get in the position that we're supposed to get in, Lord. And let's run this race with patience. Looking to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith. But that faith has a beginning, and it starts at the new birth. When we picked up that beam and we took off with it, Lord, we not just only discovered the cross, we discovered the cross that we carry, that we have to take each day, that we have to endure this world, sickness, pain, heartache, death of loved ones and all the different things, Lord. All that's around us, but you told us that if we'd forsake all that, that we'd be your disciple. We could be followers of you. Lord, let us follow you right into a body change now, Lord. As we start up this statue of a perfect man, Lord, may you help us with these beams. As Simon of Cyrene stepped out of the crowd and helped Jesus. Lord, I know you don't need any help, but Lord, each one of us do need help. We need a Simon to step out one day and pick up our beam and help us over this thing called life. Father, just be with us and bless us. Be with ones that are sick, Lord. We continually pray for each one, Lord, that has needs. Father, we ask you to just bless us until we come back together, Lord, on Saturday night, Lord, for Bible study at 6 o'clock, Lord. Just bring the words of eternal life to us, Lord, and may we see you more and more, Father. And then be with us on Sunday with communion and foot washing. Lord, just come among us in a special way this weekend, Father. We ask you to bless each one, Lord, as they take their journey home, that you'll give us, Lord, this day our daily bread, and let us chew on these things that we've heard, Lord, and that we'll take them to heart, Father. Just bless us now in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
And renew a right spirit.